If you would turn in your Bibles to Psalm 19. Don't go to 119. Psalm 19. This has got a section of Scripture here, verses 7 through 11, that I've always gone back to time and time again to remind myself of just what all the Word of God really is about. What His laws are about. What His statutes are about. What His commandments are about. His judgments. And all of those things. And when you stop and think about it, when you encapsulate that idea, you're talking about the Word of God. You're talking about it in its entirety. Beginning in verse 7, it says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul." We know what the law of God is capable of doing in changing the hearts and minds of man. And we learn here something about the law of the Lord. The law of the Lord is perfect. Now, we think in terms of perfect sometimes as that which is flawless. And this is certainly carrying with that idea here as well. It's flawless. We think about that word sometimes, and if you're like me, I'm kind of a sports enthusiast, and I do enjoy baseball, and we often talk about a pitcher throwing the perfect game. And you say, you mean a no-hitter? No, I mean a perfect game. Nobody gets on base. He doesn't walk anybody. Nobody gets a hit. He doesn't let any kind of scores go in. And still, that is not a perfect game. He did not pitch a flawless game. God's laws really are flawless. They're complete in every way in order to convert the soul. Notice also the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Now I want you to stop and think about what this is telling us here. The testimony of the Lord is sure. That means it is certain. That means that it is steadfast. And what does it do? It makes wise the simple. You can reverse that even. It makes the simple wise. But here, wise the simple. Those who would present themselves as being very wise, it shows the simplicity of them. The statutes, verse 8, of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. Folks, when we read God's Word, when we read His statutes, are we caused to rejoice in our hearts? Do we delight in our hearts? Is it something that brings great joy to us to be able to sit down and just take a little time out of our day and study God's inspired Word? Continue in verse 8, "The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes." The commandments of God are pure. That is to say, there's no impurities within them. There's no dross in them. You think about gold and you think about silver. And no matter what you do with gold, no matter what you do with silver, no matter how many times you try that by fire, no matter how many times you go through the process of purging all the impurities out of that metal, you realize that you can never get it absolutely pure. That's when you buy gold sometimes and you look at it, or silver sometimes, and it says 4 9s, 0.9999. You know what that means? In our way of thinking, that's as pure as it gets. But you know what? There's still some impurity within it. They can never completely get that out. That's not true of the commandments of God. When God gives a commandment, it is absolutely pure. And when we take that commandment properly, it will enlighten our eyes. Verse 9, "The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever." You stop and think about the fear of God. And yes, there ought to be that sense of dread. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But stop and also think about the standpoint, not just fear from the standpoint of trembling. at the presence or at the thought of God or what he might be able to do, because he is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. Matthew 10, verse 28. But also stop and think about it from the reverential awe of God. To revere God. To place God where he deserves to be placed. Above and beyond everything in this world and anything this world has to offer. The judgments of the Lord, verse 9, are true and righteous altogether. In other words, there's nothing lacking there. Continue verse 10. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Now stop and think about the them here. He talks about more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey, the honeycomb. Moreover, by them, that is these laws, these testimonies, the statutes, the commandments, the fear of God, the judgments of God, he says, your servant is warned. Folks, God's word warns us. And it causes us to contemplate that eternal life. Where will it be? Will it be with God or will it be in condemnation? Will we spend eternity in heaven or will we spend eternity in the fires of hell? We're warned. But notice here, he ends this particular section here via the Holy Spirit, and in keeping them, again, goes back to the laws, the testimonies, the statutes, the commandments, the fear of God, the judgments of God, in keeping them, there is what? A great reward. Oh, what a wonderful thought that is. You know, we often sing that song. There's a great day coming. A great day coming. Is this something that we look forward to? Are we looking forward to that eternal home of the soul? Are we excited about the idea that one of these days, whether it's a relatively short life here on earth or a very long life here on earth, that we're going to be able to shake off this old physical body that we recognize? Maybe at one time we could look in the mirror and say, yeah, I'm in good shape. Not so much anymore. Maybe you're still in that good shape. But are you ready? Are you excited about the idea that one of these days that physical body is going to be gone? You know, I figured out something a long time ago. And I say long time ago because it is now for me. You hit about age 50, 55 years old and you turn into what? The Rice Krispie years. Everything snap, crackles, and pops on your body. You start hurting. You don't get around so fast anymore. Well, dear, I'd like to stoop over and pick that up, but if I got down there, I might not get back up. But the truth of the matter is, folks, we ought to be looking forward regardless of the condition of life that we're in right now. Looking for that blessed home of the soul. Oh, it's going to be a great day if we're ready. But you know what the sad part is? That song also says there's a sad day coming. There's a sad day coming. Because we're not ready. Our challenge here this evening is simply this. If you're not ready to meet your Lord, should he come back today, if you're not ready to meet your Lord in eternity, should you die today, the question is simply this: why not? And why not get ready tonight? If you know what you need to do to be saved, you've heard God's word preached and proclaimed, you know and you believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and you're ready to make that great confession, and you're ready to repent of your sins, then you're ready to be baptized. You're ready to have those sins all washed away, Acts 22 and verse 16. You're ready to have those sins remitted, Acts 2 and verse 38. And the simple question is, why not tonight? Why not make that decision tonight? Put your Lord and Savior on in baptism. Rise up and walk in newness of life, that new creation in Christ Jesus. Maybe it is the case that you're a child of God. And we live in a hectic world, and we live in a world that pulls us away from God every chance it gets. And maybe you just haven't been living as God would want you to live. And you know you're ready to come back to God on His terms. You're ready to make things right. I want you to understand that you have a loving church family here who cares about you, who loves you, who does not stand in judgment. Because we realize one of these days it may be us that needs the prayers of this church family. We stand ready to pray for you, assist you in any way that we possibly can. Whatever your need may be, to put your Lord and Savior on in baptism, rise up and walk in newness of life, or to come back to God. If we can be of assistance, won't you come right now as we stand and sing this song?